Mä oon tuolla heli tuon patson saavuet, tanshaftsa. Lähkon kuulua makkeekin saavuet herran kuuluska täppä säämis.
Eräs koulunko säämis? No jemkalela. Jemla, lahutun.
No inna kulla, mutta tuon tannan kanssa vähän vehtän, että hui, hän jos koppar jahki orro lämmen täppä, ainakin täppä säämiin päältä. Lähkon tutkan.
Mulla on kuulemma, että toppeen Juha Leevistä, kun toppeen Avel Juha Leevistä lää kuoppare. Ja tänne tuohon potsuilla toppeen Markkaniin ja Ulmuisiljoin. Mutta toppeen Meetsistä, toppeen no, Olma Meetsistä ja Lahvissa kuoppare nuutkin.
Justa.
Mutta täällä mun nyt pohtii taas, että käs kihperkin vähän kuhkella, kun toppeen ruoshas, toppeen kuhkin nuorehtas. Mä toppeen aivan nuorehtas ketsäs ruoshas. Tuon Mihail, how is it that in your place? Do you have mushrooms this autumn?
Well, yes. Actually, this autumn we don't have so much mushrooms, and you know that if there are too little mushrooms, it's bad, and it's too many mushrooms also not so good. But this time, this autumn, we had too little mushrooms, and so reindeer are running and trying to to find it, and of course this is quite difficult. I'm talking only about my place, my reindeer herd. I don't know about the other places in our region, because our region is very big, so it's very different.
So what is it called, your region then?
My region is called Sakhar Republic, Yakutia, and it's in the eastern part of the Russian Federation, far east of Russia, and it's the biggest region in the Russian Federation. It's 8 times of France, the size of the territory.
And we have met, I don't remember, last time, 2 years ago, there was this governor that met too, and you were you then the chairman of the World Reindeer Herders Organization already?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
I serve as the chair of the association since 2009. Mm. I was elected in Kautokeino, in Norway first, and then re-elected in Ologoya in China, the 5th Congress, and just recently in August we held the 6th World Reindeer Herders Congress in Jokkmokk in Sweden, where I'm continuing as the chair of the association.
So you've been now traveling here in Sápmi quite often, or have you been spending your time whole time here since then?
Sometimes it seems like I spend more time here than in my home place. But due to this service, this work, I have to travel a lot, in not only in Sápmi but also in many other regions of reindeer herding world. So it's quite takes a lot of time to travel and visit other reindeer herders.
Mm. Well, the last time we spoke, you told about that you have a big problem with the wolves, and you said that you give like how much was it, $1,000, no, a ruble, about it to get one wolf down, each wolf. So how has it gone since then?
Well, since then, it was not so big change, and still wolves they. A big threat for all reindeer herders in our region, in particular, especially in our region, because annually we count that approximately around from 2,000 to 16,000 reindeer killed by wolves in our region, and this very great loss for reindeer herders. And we have some places where wolves eliminated reindeer at all, so there is no reindeer anymore. In some villages, in some communities, and when people stop doing reindeer herding, it means for them loss of their culture, identity, the language, and they disappear as people. And this is very serious and a very big challenge for not only for our reindeer herders but all over the world. Because if taiga reindeer husbandry will disappear, it means the knowledge about this type of reindeer also will disappear, and people will disappear.
Well, what do you think, what is the reason why there are too many of those predators right now?
Well, actually, there is no so much research on this challenge. And so I haven't seen any paper or any project to investigate why the number of wolves increased so significantly. But I think that there are a number of reasons and factors. First of all, of course, it's that since 1990s, the use of poison was abandoned according to the Bern Convention. And also, in general, support to reindeer herding, where regulation of wolves population was essential funding. It now disappeared also. There is no big funding from the federal state. In the regional level, we have funding for killing wolves. And as I said, you can get $1,000 per wolf. You get it from the government as a support to regulate the numbers. But anyway, it doesn't kind of influence much to this. Another reason, in my opinion, is in general human activities, increased human activities in the region. Now there are more roads, pipelines, infrastructure, and wolves are going to the more quiet wilderness places. So
they and that are the same areas where the reindeers are.
Yes, yeah. So this also another reason. Also, I think that one other reason is that people started to hunt more. I mean, they're hunting rabbits.
The prey that wolf would eat otherwise.
Yes, so they kind of eliminate the source of food for wolves. Mm. So then the wolves start to attack reindeer. Mm. And so I think this is partly also the problem, and it is not discussed and in our society, unfortunately. But when you start to speak about this, of course people don't like, because they want to go for hunting in autumn for rabbits and other animals, and so I think there are interlinked factors and reasons why the number of wolves increase. And also, there are wolves coming from other regions to our region, so they are migrating all the time. So you actually, it's difficult to count them, because when we started our program to regulate the number of wolves, they just disappeared to other regions. When we finished this program, they came again.
So they're wise animals.
Yeah, of course. Mm. Yeah. And it's very difficult to hunt them, especially in the area where I live, where we have forests and mountains. It's very easy for them to escape to the mountains, and it's impossible to use the snowmobiles there.
How is the winter? How much do you have snow in the winter?
Well, winter was okay. We had not so much snow, but normal kind of snow conditions. But in the northern part of our region, this winter was very bad because of very big snow, 2.5 meters in some places, and many reindeer died because of starving. That, and also we get a lot of floodings in springtime, and because of the big snow, also our rivers and lakes didn't freeze enough to carry them. So because we rely on winter roads,
so we couldn't deliver snow, it couldn't freeze.
So we couldn't deliver the food, the fuel, the products and everything to the villages in the north. So this winter was very bad for northern part of our republic. In my home place it was okay. It was not so much change, but in the north they really suffered from this winter.
Well, now that Mihal Bogodaev, you are the chair of the World Reindeer Herders Organization, and you have a little bit of knowledge of all around how reindeer herding is now going. You had the conference in Jokkmokk. How does it seem now, the nowadays situation in reindeer herding around the world?
Well, unfortunately, the situation was not improved. So it's still a lot of challenges for reindeer herders all over the Arctic and the world. Of course, the situation is different when it comes to regions. If you look at some regions, they're doing better than others, and the situation is different. But in general, if you look globally to the situation in reindeer husbandry, I think that it is continuation of disappearance of reindeer husbandry in some areas, and increased pressure on reindeer herding from industrial development, infrastructure development, climate change. You've heard about recent news on anthrax in Yamal, for example, and these floodings, big snow, as I already told about. So there are many pressure on reindeer husbandry and predators also in many regions. Still, predators is the main threat to reindeer herding, and we continue to lose taiga reindeer husbandry. So situation is not improved globally, and it's getting worse. But of course, reindeer herders never give up, and we have to continue. And we continue our work to engage more youth to our projects and our work to encourage them to continue. Because in some regions, youth.
How do you encourage them, youth? If you talk about all these negative things, what are the positive things that you can tell them?
Well.
Or are they born into this lifestyle? That's why.
In our experience, you see, we have a lot of youth, many young people who would like to continue reindeer herding because it's in their blood, in their life. They born in reindeer herding, but because of all this globalization, assimilation policies, and sometimes young people they kind of lost. They think that their livelihood is not so important. It's not so modern, it's not so attractive to so they try to move towards more kind of modern societies. They disappear from their communities. They're trying to find themselves in other places, but it's very difficult because it's a kind of, it's naive to think that someone is waiting for us in other places, that we can come there and be rich and have a good life. But those who understand that their culture, their way of life, their livelihood is important, and they can base and thrive from this way of life, when young people understand this, they are encouraged to continue and to work on this and to make also reindeer herding attractive and modern business. And so we're trying to encourage them by preserving their knowledge of their people, their maintaining their language, their culture. They're more proud when they know that this is globally significant for not only for us, for our reindeer herding peoples, but also for the world. Because we don't know where the world is, this global society, where are we going, what will happen with our planet, and don't know about the future. It's very kind of unclear. And I think that our role is to preserve the planet for future generations, and using our knowledge that we accumulated for millennia, for generations, and we have to pass this knowledge to new generations and keep our cultures alive in order to also keep the land for next generations. And I think when young people hear this and they see that on an international level there is a lot of projects, a lot of interest, a lot of challenges also, but there are a lot of opportunities for young people. They become encouraged. They try to, you know, to be engaged. And we have a lot of engagement in our projects on food culture of indigenous people, on innovation, on documentation of tradition and knowledge. And so it's also inspiring us.
Digital too.
Yes, also. Of course, there are still any challenges on the conditions, because young people now, they would like to have comfort life. They want access to new technologies. They want to have access to the internet, education opportunities. They want to communicate with other people, and they would like to travel. And we have to respect all of this. And very often in reindeer herding communities, reindeer husbandry is very hard life. It's very hard work. You have to be very tough to live there and to do reindeer. So there are a lot of challenges, but I see that our young people, they really want to continue if we will provide them the right conditions. If we will provide them, they can make the better life out of reindeer herding.
What about yourself? Like that you've been working as now and traveling around the world. What about your future? What do you see? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, of course I always think about the future. And of course I now I have a part of my life today, and this is reality for me that I have to travel a lot and be away from my family, from my home. But it's kind of also a privilege for me to work with all Rain and Honey peoples. And I feel the responsibility that I have to deliver. I have to work on this, spend this time. Of course it will be not forever. I know this, that it will be only a part of my life. But when it will be finished, I will get back home and will continue to live there. And I hope to be, you know, old senior reindeer herder living in the mountains. And this is the best life for me. And every year I try to, all the time when I have opportunity to go to my reindeer herd, I use this, I go there. Even though it's very difficult to reach my home place because it's very remote and far from the town.
So what time of the when does your mating season start with your reindeers? What is the time? Is it the same time as here?
Well,
is it later or earlier?
No, it's in September. But you see, we observe the change also in the start of rutting time. And maybe there is a 1 or 2 weeks delay, and of course, and there are calves coming also later. This is not good for reindeer.
Why?
Because they have not so much time
to grow.
To grow until the autumn.
So
and winter.
The autumn still comes as it used to come, but they born later.
But we see that it's a little bit later than it used to be. But one also strange thing that our bulls, they clean the antlers earlier.
That they are ready.
Already. In August they start to. In early August they start to clean. So it's also unusual and probably something to do with the climate change. We see that climate is changing and environment is changing. So, for example, some years ago, near our camp, there was some big ice deposit. Now it's disappeared completely. So you don't have this ice anymore. When it's hot summer, usually reindeer used to, you know, to cool down in this ice.
And there was filmed somewhere in Tibet. In China, that there were mudslides that because of the permafrost is melting.
So there are many examples of the change. It's very difficult to predict and rely on these predictions and make plans for future.
What about now? You have the Arctic Council meeting. So, how do you see the role here with the Arctic Council?
Well, Association of World Reindeer Herders is very active participant. We have an observer status in Arctic Council, so we follow Sustainable Development Working Group, which is about human dimension in the Arctic. And for many years, we follow this working group. We initiated and led many projects on reindeer husbandry, and we think this is very important part of our contribution to development of reindeer herding, because now reindeer herders have a possibility through the association to bring their voice to the international level, to those who make decisions in these countries. So we deliver the voice of reindeer herders, of our youth, what is important for us and how should the future of the Arctic look like, what kind of decisions they should make in order to keep the reindeer herding develop. And I think that we have this very unique momentum and position now that people listen to us, and we can influence policies of Arctic states. We engage permanent participants, indigenous organizations together to struggle for the rights, for the future of our livelihoods. And I think this is a very important part of the work, because before, in the 90s, not so many people knew about reindeer husbandry. Now almost everywhere you can find people who know about reindeer husbandry, its challenges, its opportunities, what's happening in these regions. And I think through this work we lift the profile of reindeer herding and promote this livelihood, and people understand. Because without understanding, you make wrong decisions and you make mistakes.
One more question: that why do you think that now they listen to you, the indigenous peoples? You said that now you get your voice heard. Why do you think that is?
Well, I compare with some decades ago. So decades ago, I know that people didn't know, they knew nothing about reindeer herding. They thought that it's somewhere in the Arctic, in the snow, reindeer are running there and something. But they didn't know that this is the livelihood, this is important for people. How many people involved in reindeer herding, what kind of challenges they face with the infrastructure, industrial development, what are the causes of this change. But today, probably it's also because of development of international cooperation, because now it's a kind of politically correct to include indigenous voice. And today we have very strong position of indigenous people's organization, Arctic Council. It's very unique. Arctic Council is unique because it's consensus-based organization with almost equal participation of indigenous people's organization. When they sit around the table and can express their worries and their opinions on how to develop the Arctic and how to deal with many, many important issues for all the Arctic residents, not only for indigenous peoples. But today, through this very important intergovernmental platform where people coming, and you know that Arctic today is very important globally. There is a huge interest from non-Arctic states in the
economical
future.
Economical interest.
Yes, economical interest, etc. And so it's a lot of people there, and we have to have a very strong voice there. Otherwise, some other people will come there and develop these areas, and they will kind of disappear in the future. So we don't want that. But I think through positive cooperation, positive engagement with indigenous peoples' organizations together with Arctic states, we can foster some progress in this and have more influence. We have our positions on many issues, so we want this position taken into consideration when they make decisions.
And reindeer is not going anywhere.
Well, reindeer doesn't see any borders, and we have to follow reindeer. So it's we were here before the national borders were drawn. So I hope we will continue to be here. Maybe sometimes I also think maybe we are a little bit naive about the future of the Arctic, because it's very not so easy. It's very difficult, complex issues, challenges there. But I want to believe for the better, because otherwise you can, of course, be very pessimistic, and then there is no sense to do anything if you don't believe in it. But I do believe in cooperation. I do believe on constructive dialogue, and based on this, more smart, more responsible decisions.
Thanks a lot for your time, Mihail Bogodayev.
Thank you.